Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11.
All right, but we are in Hebrews chapter 11. Hopefully you found your place there. We started in this verse number 6 last week. And so let me ask you to stand as we read. We're going to start in verse number 6 and read down through verse number 16 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 6, the Bible tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, that city is described for us in the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, in case you're curious. All right, moving on in verse number 11, through faith Sarah, also Sarah herself, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there up even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now notice they didn't lose their faith just because God didn't give them the answer when they expected it. It says they all died in faith, not having received the promises. They kept the faith, and that's why they're here in Hebrews 11. Let's move along, verse number 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. And this is one of my favorite verses in all the scripture. But now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we consider the topic of faith this morning, we do pray and ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to see the things you have for us this morning out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We're talking about faith out of verse number 6, in particular in Hebrews chapter 11. Last week we looked at the idea that faith is always based upon known facts. Faith is always based upon fact. And we looked at that concept last week when the Bible says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Coming to God, a known fact of God's existence, of God's work in this universe, his creation of this universe, and his sustaining work in this universe, and the things that he does for us individually. This morning, I'd like to consider a second thought regarding faith, and that is that faith is only as valuable as the one in whom it trusts. Faith is only as valuable as the one in whom it trusts. Now, we can trust that used car salesman, and maybe I shouldn't use this illustration, but just let me say lawyer. Are there any lawyers here this morning? Okay, we'll use lawyers. Always better to talk about people behind their back, right? Well, I'm not talking about anyone specifically because I'm only friends with one lawyer and know a couple others, and I would trust them with my life. Terry Hamilton up in Ashtabula with Lighthouse Legal Ministries. And I would trust also David Gibbs with the Christian Law Association and also the younger lawyer that's with Terry Hamilton. But we stereotype lawyers. Would you trust a lawyer if he were to tell you some things? Now, maybe you would, but the stereotypical lawyer you wouldn't trust them with your life or with much else, because not because of the lack of your faith in that individual, but because of the lack of character of that stereotypical lawyer. And so the same principle applies with faith when it comes to God. Our faith in God does not rely upon our ability to conjure up faith. It doesn't rely on our ability to just believe it and then receive it. But our faith has its value in the fact that we're going before Almighty God in heaven, and that He is the one who can do the things that we need done in our lives. And so faith is only as valuable as the one in whom it trusts. And this is what makes Christianity so far different from every other religion in the world. And let me just modify Christianity to Bible-believing Christianity. You see, we don't trust in anything or anyone else, and not even ourselves, for our salvation, not biblical Christianity. Our faith and our salvation rest solely in heaven above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father with the imprints of the nails still in His hand. Because of His character and because of His promises, our salvation is secure. It doesn't depend on our church getting us there. As much as I wish Calvary Baptist Church could assure you of heaven, we can't do that. Not through our strength or being a member of our church. We can through the Word of God and through what Christ has done, but not through our ability to get you there. We can't do anything for you. But we can tell you about one who can, and one who did, and one who will if you'll let him. You can have your eternal security. That just simply means that once you're saved, you can never lose it. The Bible teaches this. Now, how do we believe that? Because our faith is as valuable as the one in whom we believe, and He has promised us that He'll do that. And we'll talk about that in just a moment and look at some scripture verses. But we don't have to trust in anything for our eternal salvation. Our church won't do it. We have a baptistry up through the window behind those curtains. And we can baptize you 100 times. We can baptize you every day if you want. And you know what? That's not going to wash any sin away. That's not going to get you to heaven. We wish it could. It'd be an easy way to do it. But that won't do it. Because we're not trusting in baptismal waters. We're not trusting in anything to get us to heaven. We're not trusting in our ability to keep the Ten Commandments. We're not trusting in our ability to be a good person. We're not even trusting in our good works outweighing our bad works to get us to heaven. Our salvation, our faith is not based in those things. Our salvation and our faith are based in a person in heaven above. The Lord Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father with the imprints of the nails yet in His hand. I hear people say, I have faith, but their faith is in nothing more than their faith. Their faith is in themselves, and none of us are going to be able to or have the ability in any way, shape, or form to get us to heaven. Now, we ought to be concerned about going to heaven, because one day our life on this earth will end. If you don't believe that, just wait a few years. Now, I think we all believe it because we know it's true. We know it's a part of life, death. But what happens after death? That's where we need to be concerned. This life lasts how long? The Bible promises us 70 and no more. God, by His grace, allows many of us to live well beyond that. But the fact of the matter is, usually, life is less than 100 years. Sometimes a little more, but we can confidently say life lasts less than 200 years. How long is eternity? Think these things through. How long is eternity? Eternity is an immeasurable amount of time. It's time that, once it begins, never ends. And so we have probably less than 100, certainly less than 200 years here on this earth. And yet we can put that into centuries or into millennia when it comes to eternity. Where should our focus be in this world? Our focus should be on what happens after we close our eyes in this world through death. Where will we open our eyes once that life that we live now is over. Jesus, if we put our faith in Him, assures us that we can have life in heaven, something we don't want to take a chance on. And so our faith is as valuable as the one in whom it trusts. And God tells us that our eternal home can be secure in heaven. You see, faith is just believing what God says, simply because God said it. Now, I've shared the gospel with a lot of people and seen a lot of people saved, but I hope there aren't any of them that say, well, I'm saved because Pastor said so. They're not saved because I said so. They're saved because the Word of God says so, and God declared it, thus saith the Lord, right here in the Word of God. That's where our faith should rest, in the person of God. And faith is simply believing what God says because it's God who said it. Faith is as valuable as the one in whom it trusts. And when our trust is in God, then that faith is certain and well-placed. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus speaking says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Moving on to verse number 29, he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is a promise that we have from God Himself while Jesus walked the face of the earth. The God-man, 100% God, 100% man, in one man. We can't understand it. We can't fully comprehend it. Nevertheless, the Bible declares it, and we believe it through faith when we talked about that last week, based on fact. And so, because of the character of that one, we believe His promise that He made to us, that He tells us, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. How long is that? If I can have it right now, and I believe I have it today, how long will that life that God has given to me last? It'll never end. It'll never cease. And even though my eyes may close in death and this body droop over lifelessly, the soul will leave the body and I'll open my eyes in heaven and I'll look upon my Savior. And what a wonderful day that will be to see the one who loved me so much when I was so unlovable that He died for me and paid the penalty that was due for my sin. He took my place. He took your place. The question is, have you allowed Him to save you? Have you allowed Him to be your Savior? You see, it's not automatic. You've got to take it personally for yourself. But when you do, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you do, God says, it's everlasting life. You shall never perish. So if I have it today, and then I do something terrible this week, some atrocious sin that we all would agree on, such as what the Muslims are doing, going out and running cars into people and into crowds, and did it again there in Spain, killing people. And should I do that, would I stand here next week as a lost man, having lost my salvation? Now, this doesn't make sense to me, and it doesn't make sense to you, to be able to do something that horrific and still have everlasting life. You see, if I could lose it, even doing something as terrible as that, the fact is, God would be a liar. And we know that God never lies. You see, our faith is based in the character of the one in whom it trusts. And God is faithful and unfailing, and if that should ever happen, that I could ever lose my salvation or you could ever lose yours, then God would fail. God would be a liar. His word could not be trusted because He promised us there in John chapter 10 to give us everlasting life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed unto the day of redemption. What is that day of redemption? That day of redemption is talking about the day we enter heaven. when our salvation becomes complete. Now, it's complete in one sense right now in the fact that we are 100% fully saved. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God as much as we'll ever be. And in that sense, it's complete, but there's a future sense, and I recently have talked about this. There's a past tense, a present tense, and a future tense to salvation. Past tense is I'm saved from the penalty of sin, which is death, in hell forever. The present tense is I'm being saved from the power of sin, and then the future tense is saved from the very presence of sin. And that's what it's talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals us, keeps us safe, just like that jar of pickles, when you turn the cap, it pops, because it was sealed until the day of opening. Now, they don't guarantee it past a certain date, but God doesn't have that fine print here in that verse, does he? He says you're sealed, you're kept by the power of God. Our faith is as valuable as the one in whom it trusts. It's that way and true for salvation, but it's also that way and true for sanctification. The fact that it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation is in the Bible, when it's used that way, it's not referring only to the things we say, but it's referring to our whole lifestyle. He says, the way you live, let it be holy as God is holy. And he tells us he'll do that for us. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. But you see, that's possible. We can overcome the sin in our life, and we can live for God and live a holy life because he is faithful who hath promised. Because our faith rests in Jesus Christ, seated on the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, with the imprints of the nails still in his hand. You see, your faith is as valuable as the one in whom it trusts. It's this way with salvation. It's this way with sanctification. It's also this way just with satisfaction in life. What are you looking for in life? What are your needs in life? We all face things that we can't work out on our own. But, you know, God said in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. It's in the context of the proverbial camel fitting through the eye of the needle. And there have been those that have tried to explain away and saying that in the gates of the city there would be a small entrance door, like a maintenance door, that a camel ordinarily couldn't get through. But if you had a good camel and you had a good camel owner, you could get that camel to go on all four knees, and he could kind of pull from the front and maybe push from the back, and they could squeeze that camel through. They try to explain it away with that, and if that's the case, then it loses its import. It loses its whole point of being stated, if it was possible. But you see, what God's trying to impress us with is that he can do that which you just can't believe could ever happen. Those things that you see that you just don't ever think could ever occur. God says, with me, it's possible. So think about a camel. Now, I'm not an expert on camels. I've seen a few in the zoo, and their backs stand maybe this high. Then think about a needle. Now, not the little, don't you hate sewing needles? When I was in seventh grade, one of the worst school years of my life, they made us take home ec. We tried to get kicked out. My buddy was lucky. He got kicked out and made to go to wood shop. That's what we all wanted, all the boys wanted to do. One day we made fudge. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but we made fudge, and the teacher left the room, and Max, my buddy Max, and I decided we were going to get kicked out. So we balled it up, and we were trying to throw it as close to the clock as we could and stick it on the wall. Well, she walked in while he was in the motion of throwing, and so he got kicked out. I confessed I did it too. Didn't do me a lick of good. But we had to learn how to sew. And man, I could never get that thread through that teeny little hole I don't know how they do it. It's a mystery to me. But that's not the kind of eye of the needle we're looking at. We're looking at it a little bit bigger because they didn't use such fine thread so much. It was a lot coarser. And so we understand that. But nevertheless, even if you make it this big, which is a huge exaggeration for what it would have actually been, can you imagine fitting that camel through that little eye of the needle? It is not going to happen with that camel being in one piece, is it? And they didn't have blenders back then, so it just wasn't going to happen. What God's trying to tell us, He can do the things that you can't seem as possible. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 3. What can God do? And we're going to talk about this, not this week, Lord willing, but Lord willing, a week from tonight, we'll look at these verses. What can God do? What are you facing in life? You see, He can save you. He can sanctify you, give you victory over sin. But He can also make you satisfied with a Christian life. Look at verse number 20, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do above all. Now, didn't I skip a few words? I just love what God says here. And it's been a while since I talked about this verse, but I like to talk about this. This is exciting. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. When He says according to the power that worketh in us, He says, as far as your imagination can stretch, God can do exceeding abundantly above that. Now, He doesn't just say above. Above would have been sufficient. He doesn't just say abundantly above, because that would have been way more than above and way more than sufficient. But He said exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. In other words, God is saying He can do the impossible. What are you facing in your life this morning that you don't see any way out, that you don't see any way it can happen, that you don't see any answer or solution to? God knows what to do. Can you trust Him for that? The reason I read so many verses there in the book of Hebrews is I wanted you to read about some people who believed in God and that He was able and He could do the impossible. Imagine poor Abraham and Sarah wandering through the country, looking for that city made of gold, whose builder and maker is God. What would cause a man to do that with his family? Because he believed God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Do you have faith this morning that God can work in your life? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not certain you're on your way to heaven. You're not sure of your salvation, of your eternal life. God wants to save you. He's done all the work. All that's left is for you to come to God, confess your sin, and receive Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning, you're struggling with your Christian life, or maybe you're here this morning as a Christian and you're just struggling with life. God is still the answer. Your faith is as valuable as the one in whom it's placed. And this one it should be placed in is the Lord Jesus Christ, seated on the right hand of the Father with the prints of the nails as a demonstration of His love still in His hands. Father, we're grateful that we serve such a great God. Lord, we know there's no other gods out there but man-made gods, and so many serve those man-made gods. Thank You for loving us enough to send Your Son to die for us and then giving us Your Word and preserving up to this day, that we might read of it and learn of it and learn of You, that our faith might be placed in Your hands and at Your feet. Father, if there be even one here this morning that's without Christ, may they be saved before it's too late. And Father, for those of us that are saved, challenge us in our faith, that it be placed squarely in You and to trust You for bigger and better things. All for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.